You're listening to a teaching program by Rise on Fire Ministries. For more teachings just like this one, visit riseonfire.com.
The title of this teaching is Incredible Speaking in Tongues Testimony, From Critic to Convinced, by P.D. von der Westhuizen with Rise on Fire Ministries.
Cheers and welcome to the live stream here tonight. Tonight I am so excited because I have an amazing story that I would want that I want you to hear, an amazing testimony regarding the gift of speaking in tongues. I have a brother that I've invited to come on the live show here tonight who grew up in a church that had spiritual gifts and movings of the Spirit, it seemed, in the church, but yet there were teachings around the Holy Spirit that confused him, made him feel somewhat isolated and lonely. And in fact, it gave him a bad taste, if you will. And as he grew up in the Lord and became a man and grew closer and closer to the Lord, he started getting pricked in his heart by the Holy Spirit. And as this happened, the Father led him back to that gift of speaking in tongues he's witnessed before. But the Father wanted him to see something new, something authentic, something beautiful. And that thing would be the very thing that would change his life forever and his relationship with God forever. So, brothers and sisters, I want to say a special welcome to my friend Hannibal. Hannibal, brother, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. I'm so honored. I'm so excited to hear what you have to share with us.
No, thank you. Shalom, everyone. Thank you for having me on.
Awesome. So, you know, guys, I asked Hannibal to not even share everything with me yet because I wanted at least a large part of his story to be new to me, just as it is to you tonight, so I could receive it as if I'm hearing it the first time with you, because I want that conversation that we have here tonight to be natural about this encounter that he had, and we want to explore the things that happened to him and what the Father did in his life. So Hannibal, I'm just going to from here on, give this over to you, and I'm going to jump in here now and then, and we're going to talk about some things. But I want you to just open up for us tonight about just sharing what happened there in that church you grew up in and that environment, and from there on out.
Yeah. So from the age of about 7 to right up until high school, I went to a Christian private school. And even though I did not have a personal relationship with Jesus, and I tried, but I just couldn't understand it. During worship and praise, which we had at least once a week in school, a lot of students would just start praying in tongues. And, you know, me being young, it felt like it was at least 70% of the students. And I was looking around, wondering what I was hearing. And one of the pastors explained to me what this is, and he pretty much said that this is a special gift that Jesus gives to you. And it's a beautiful gift. And obviously, I wanted it, and it felt like you know, I was having a basic subscription of Christianity, and all of my friends and peers, they were having a premium subscription. So I felt so neglected after a while of asking, not even knowing what I was asking for, that I started faking it. And when I graduated from that school and entered into a secular high school, I left church completely and went my own way and just put that in, you know, a folder of I'd never want to have anything to do with that again. Because I felt like a fraud. A decade later, when I actually gave my life to Yeshua and started walking in the commandments, my first thought was like, oh man, okay, so I'm a believer now. I understand the Bible, that the commandments are still applicable today. This is how we walk out our sanctification. So I expected everyone around me that's Torah observant to be like, you know, Acts, Book of Acts, right? First century church, just explosive, full contact Christianity, as I would like to call it. But then I came in and everybody was just like, well, we have Moses, we have the Torah, and everyone would say, well, we'll get to the gifts someday in the future, but not now. And nobody even had a hunger for it. So after about half a year of just filling my head with a lot of knowledge, which is good, of the commandments and Yeshua and all these things, I started having a feeling of being spiritually constipated, for lack of better words, that there's something missing, because what Yeshua commanded us to do, according to Deuteronomy 18, that's Torah too, right? Everything that the Father put in him to say, we need to do. And part of that is to cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons. And I saw nobody doing that around me. Even worse, I saw nobody having an interest in doing those things. It was all very theoretical. So I remember going on my knees and asking the Father, okay, these charismatic gifts, I want them. But I used to pray for all nine of them except for one, the gift of tongues. I would jump over it. I would skip over it, and I would tell God anything, Father, but that gift because of my experiences in my childhood. And I remember him leading me to your channel, PD, where you talked about the gifts and what you've been doing in outreaches. And I felt the Father drop in my spirit so heavily that the first thing I want you to pursue is the gift of tongues. And I got chills and I got scared and my heart started beating fast because I freaked out because
you had an experience about that when you were young and it wasn't good.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It wasn't good at all. And I was afraid of, well, what if I just make it up again like I did when I was young, when I was a child?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very logical. I need everything to make sense. And it never made sense to me of, well, all the teachers that I've been listening to, almost all of them have been saying that there are known languages for the purpose of spreading the gospel. So why should I pursue it? I live in a country where I speak Swedish, I speak English, so the only languages I'll ever come in contact with, I already speak them. Why do I need the gift? So I went back into the Word, I started studying, and I started seeing something different, and started listening to testimonies of people that I knew in my life. I started reading testimonies, started reading studies, and one of the things that I found out was everyone who's practiced the gift of tongues in terms of a known language would all say that they're doing the exact same thing that they do in their prayer closet when they pray in tongues. So that just, you know, was a huge thing that I had to grapple with for a season. And a huge red flag that I saw in the community that I was a part of is that everybody that's teaching that the gift of tongues is just known languages, none of them are practicing that gift actively. None of them know of someone in their own assembly that practices the gift in that way, nor have they heard of a testimony in that way. So, you know, in my opinion, if what you're teaching doesn't work, then there's something we have to go back to the drawing board.
Right. So you're telling me that you were looking around you, you saw that this gift that is in the Bible was not in any way really being practiced around you, even by people who said that they understood what the gift was, but yet they didn't have the fruit of the gift in their life. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
And that exactly. Disturbed you, right?
That was a huge red flag because not only the gift of tongues, none of the gifts. And some things are not even, you know, like Mark 16, Yeshua tells us that those who believe, they will lay hands on the sick and they will get well. Now, if we don't even have a desire to lay hands on the sick, then, you know, are we not being disobedient? Why are we not doing this and expecting Yeshua to step in after we lay hands to bring the healing? And also believe that if we believe in him, we should speak in new tongues and cast out devils. And I had no experience in any of these. And everything had become very theoretical, very lofty, and not practical at all. And Yeshua was very practical.
Right.
And yeah. I just, you know, nobody was practicing any gifts, really,
I guess,
which
something
was a big issue.
It's such a good point. I think what easily happens is that, you know, as we get immersed in the study of Scripture and the study of, say, the gifts, among other things, you know, we get so enamored in the study that we forget about the doing of it, and we don't. So we can talk about it a lot and say about how we think it should look or not look, but if it's not happening, there's no actual fruit of the teaching and the knowledge that we have. And then sometimes, you know, as Yeshua and the Scriptures warns us, that knowledge puffs us up. So then we actually get blinded to the doing part of things. Even if someone else is doing things, you know, I might add, you know, if and this is what the Pharisees struggled with Yeshua, is he was doing a lot of things. He was casting out demons, right? And that upset them because even though they had words and they had knowledge, they did not have the same fruits that he had. And so, yeah, man, I think it's just profound that you had the awareness to be like, wow, I'm studying all this stuff and I'm receiving knowledge, but I'm not satisfied with just that. I need to actually be practical about it, as you're saying. I think that is such an important point that we must really consider with this and all of Scripture.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Please continue.
No. And Well, knowing that I was 100% sure because everything in my flesh did not want to pursue that gift, so I knew that it was from the Father. So the only thing I knew what to do was to fast and to pray, and I kept praying and fasting, and I knew that it was fear gripping me, right? I was trying to figure out, like, how do I do this? And I was asking the Father, you just have to control my tongue and speak. But I knew, like, instinctively, somewhere inside, I already knew that that didn't make any sense, because, like any other gift, we actually have to step out in faith. And then the Holy Spirit comes, you know, and helps us. But I would say that after about 6 months of wrestling with it, it got to a point where when I was praying for the gift of tongues, I would feel in my spirit a check saying, telling me that you already have it. And I would just freeze. And I would be like, nah, I'm just making that up. And I would continue praying as if I didn't hear that. And that went on for a few more months, just being stubborn. But then something interesting started to happen, that when I was fellowshipping with other believers, or when I was reading the scriptures or praying, I would start hearing a different language in my head, something that I've never heard before. And it was complete sentences, syntax, beginning and ending of sentences. And I would just sort of ignore it. I didn't feel weird about it. I just ignored it. And I remember telling a brother about it. And this brother, you know, exercises the gift of tongues. And he just told me, well, what's the worst that could happen? Just say it out loud and pray one time. And, you know, if nothing happens, nothing happens. And I was so afraid because of my past of and everything that I've also been taught since coming to faith as an adult. Of like, what if I'm saying something demonic? What if I'm blaspheming God? What if I'm cursing him? And, you know, what if I'm just babbling into the air? All these stuff. And I remember going on my knees and telling myself, trying to psych myself up. Okay, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. And then just freezing for like 10 minutes, not doing anything, and going back up and saying, okay, that next time, I'll do it next time. And that went on for about a week. And then I had a dream. And in that dream, I entered into a hotel lobby. And there was a reception, and behind the reception was a receptionist, a black lady. And she looked at me as if she recognized me, trying to guess my name. And I looked at her and I said, yes, it's Hannibal. And I walked past the reception down a long hallway. And after making just a few steps, she started cackling in like this demonic way. And the whole dream just started turned very dark. And I immediately felt like, okay, this is demonic, because I've had a lot of demonic dreams before becoming a believer and even during. And in my spirit, immediately when I heard her cackling, I had this whole language of how to rebuke her in a new language that I've never heard before. And I was so sure of, like, whatever I have in my head, she's going to get it. So I turn around in my dream and I go back to her and I point to her and I'm about to rebuke her for whatever demonic things that she's saying. And before I can even get the first word out, I wake up in full-on sleep paralysis. Now, for those who don't know what that is pretty much where, you know, unclean spirits are trying to put fear upon you in a state of like between dreaming and sleeping, dreaming and not dreaming. I mean, and I shook that off, and I just thought, huh, that's pretty interesting. And I put that in my back pocket and kept it moving. And about a week later, the same brother that I've talked about hearing a different language in my head had a dream where in that dream he was praying in tongues. And I popped up in the dream, and I was also praying in tongues. And he was so shocked in his own dream that I was praying in tongues, sort of like when did this start happening, that he thought to mention it to me. And I thought that was very interesting as I've been wrestling with these things that has been happening in the past few weeks. So at that point, I started putting two and two together, and I said, okay, I think I have to just, you know, go for it. Because I got so desperate, you know, after, you know, more than 6 months of praying and fasting, you don't want to do it anymore. You just want to have it. So I just went on my knees and I said, okay, God, for 5 minutes, I'll be faithful and I'll speak out what I hear in my head. And, you know, if it's not from you, so you have to stop me. And I opened up my mouth and I started speaking. And I remember I didn't feel anything supernatural. I felt, actually, quite frankly, I felt silly. And I wanted to stop. My flesh wanted me to stop immediately, but I told myself, okay, for 5 minutes, I'll be faithful for 5 minutes, and that's it. And after I felt like 5 minutes had gone by, I stood up, and almost an hour had passed. So I was like, whoa, okay, well, that's strange. That has never happened before, because I try to spend a lot of time in prayer, and trust me, it's not easy sometimes. You know, the flesh is rebellious, but this time, you know, time just flew by. it actually felt like less than 5 minutes. So, you know, I said, all right. And I kept doing that for a few more days, trying to be faithful. And I think after just 3 or 4 days is when I started seeing another gift manifest, namely the gift of healing. And that was over a voice call, where came out of healing upon someone and that person got healed. And that's when I started, you know, because I've been wanting that gift all the time. Like, that's the gift I actually wanted, the gift of healing, not the gift of tongues. That's, like I told you, that's not the gift I wanted at all. But I started seeing that gift manifest in my life. So it sort of felt like it was, the gift of tongues was like the dam. And when the dam broke, other things started flowing in my life.
Amen. Man, that's so amazing. Hey, what would you tell people who are, you know, you said something that I think a lot of people would connect with, that one of the fears you had is that you don't know what you're saying yourself. You know, like, mm-hmm. if you're praying in tongues, you're speaking in an unknown language, right? In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, like, it's written, for the one who speaks in tongues speaks not to men, but to God. No one understands him. He utters mysteries in the Spirit. So if you're uttering mysteries in the Spirit that you yourself do not even understand, but it's between you and God, this is, I think, a lot of a fearful thing for many people to consider, because they think, well, what if I, and this is some of the things we've heard, right, is, it's the, what if you speak in a demonic language? What if you say something that you shouldn't be saying, but you don't even know what you're saying? Like, did you fight with that kind of those thoughts? What would you say about that?
Yeah, I fought with those thoughts for the first few months until I, you know, I don't know if it was someone that pointed it out to me, but it was Luke 11 where Yeshua said, you know, ask and you shall receive, knock and the door will be opened unto you. And, you know, if you asked the Father for an egg, he won't, you know, right. he won't give you a stone. And if you ask for bread, he won't give you, you know,
that's
something
good.
Else.
I love that. Go ahead. Well, I just wanted to say another thing to consider on top of that verse is what the heart is full of, the mouth runs over from. So if Amen. Your heart is full of praise for the Lord, right? If your heart is full of worship, if your heart is full of the goodness of God, then your mouth will overflow with that goodness, that praise, and that worship for the Lord. That is the natural thing that happens. It is the heart that is angry and bitter that allows the mouth to overflow with anger and bitterness. And so no matter what the language is, and whether you understand or not, when we speak in the gift of tongues, and you are doing so in praise of God, which is basically what you do when you speak in tongues, then we know that the words that are going to come out of our heart are going to be praising the Lord. That's another thing that I recognized when I was also considering all of this.
Yeah. Amen. And, you know, it just comes down to believing that the Father is good, and there's nothing but good gift that comes down from the Father of lights. And if we ask him for a gift that he wants to give us, you know, he wants to give the Holy Spirit to all his children. We just have to ask and then believe that he will give it to us. And, you know, fear is, you know, we have unbelief. And that's the biggest thing that I was wrestling with, was also ego and pride. Also, I remember from that first night when I actually spoke in tongues for almost an hour, my first two thoughts was, oh no, I've become one of the babblers. That was something that I thought. And then number two was, I asked the Father, okay, Father, can you explain this to me in a logical way so that I can break it down for other people? Because I wanted to be able to prove this for people that have been stuck in the same place that I have been, because this is such a wonderful gift that I believe the Father wants all of us to exercise in. But we have been robbed because of, you know, wrong teachings, but also fear. I knew that as soon as I stepped away from that gift, I went back into my carnal mind wanting to break it down and asking the Father, okay, how can I explain this in a carnal way, even though I don't understand it? You know, like Paul says, my mind is unfruitful, but you build yourself up. And I almost see it as, you know, in airplanes, they also always tell you before lifting off that if something happens, the breathing thing will come down. And you put it on yourself first. You build yourself up first, and then you can help others. And that's sort of how it's been for me, that once I started building myself up, other gifts started manifesting so that I can be a blessing to those around me in the body and those who don't know Yeshua, that I can be a light to them. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the carnal mind is at enmity with the Holy Spirit, is what the scriptures say. So whenever there is a move of the Spirit or a spiritual gift, our mind, like the flesh, is going to run away mm-hmm. with all kinds of thoughts that are evil, things that are full of unbelief, criticisms of the Holy Spirit, and so on. We see a great example of this in Acts 2 when the Holy Spirit is poured out the first time publicly in that way. And, you know, we see mm-hmm. these men in the back saying, you know, are these men drunk? You know, because they were obviously yeah. perceiving the speaking in tongues as a really strange looking and sounding thing for them to make that accusation, yeah. right? So mm-hmm. we see that they were speaking from their carnal minds there. And so it is with all the spiritual gifts, you know, the gift of healing. You know, when, I promise you, the first time you go out and you're going to pray for someone, your mind is going to scream at you that you need yep. to stop, that you're wasting your time, that it's not God's will, that, you know, mm-hmm. every excuse in the book will be running through your mind. And even 20 years later when you pray, the same excuses will run through your mind again, because mm-hmm. our carnal minds are in that way. We're in this fallen state. So I think this is probably the biggest obstacle, one of the biggest at least, for people who are wanting to step into spiritual gifts, but they're afraid because they're hearing all of these thoughts running through their mind, and they want to mm-hmm. just then back off from the Holy Spirit, even though He desires to work through them despite these fears. All right.
Yeah. Amen.
I wanted to ask you, you know, I think another part of your testimony that really is going to connect with people here is how you grew up in a church or an environment, right, that there was, or I think it was your school, you said, mm-hmm. where there was speaking in tongues happening to a certain degree, but you got hurt in some ways, right?
Yep.
How do you think that colored your vision going forward in your life?
I think feeling rejected as a child, not having the gift or having the same experience that I was seeing everyone around me, not everyone, but a lot of people around me having, it sort of did have me more inclined at my adult years to sort of lean towards an understanding of tongues that sort of disqualified what I was seeing as a young child, because then that means that I don't have to carry that rejection anymore, right? If what I saw was not the true manifestation of the gift of tongues, then, you know, I can let go of that childhood trauma. That was insecurities, right, that I was trying to protect. But, you know, the Father was very patient with me and breaking down all those barriers. And I remember, like I said, I was hearing a full language. And so when I speak in tongues, the language I have now is not even the language I had when I started manifesting the gift. I've had different languages, but they're always fluent. And I thought that I had pride because of that. And I thought, and I felt even more secure because I said, well, I know that this is not something that I'm making up because it's fluent with syntax. But then the Father humbled me in a wonderful way, where a brother that I know was praying for someone in tongues, and he was interpreting his own tongues, and he was speaking right into our life. Like, so what a lot of people might not have noticed is that when you speak in tongues and then interpret, you know, it becomes prophecy, right? Usually because you're right. Building up. Exhortating, or you could even speak about something into someone's life, and that was exactly what he was doing. And to my carnal ears, his tongues were sounding very repetitive, but he was saying something different every time he was taking a break to interpret, and he was speaking right into her life, and she was just breaking down. And you know, when I was watching that, I was just like, whoa, this is amazing. And you know, I had to go back into the drawing board, because I still had preconceived ideas, not based on experience, just based on, you know, what someone else had told me. So even then, I know brothers and sisters today who don't exercise the gift, even though they have it, since they came to the understanding of Torah because of what some other teachers who don't exercise the gift have told them, which is very unfortunate, because I think it's something that we only see in Christianity, where we give so much credence to someone's opinion on something where, like you said, they lack the fruit to show for it in their own walk. And, you know, no matter what the gift of tongues looks like to you, what they sound like to your carnal ear, and I've heard you say that our ears are not connected to our spirit, they're connected to our brain, right? They're carnal. And our ears will probably never like what tongue sounds like. Mm. But that's something that we just have to continue walking in as our sanctification is to be comfortable when our flesh is uncomfortable. Like you said, the first time I laid hands on someone to pray, I was shaking like a leaf. I was so scared, and I was sucking myself up for so long before I did it. And still today, I get butterflies in my stomach when I know that I have to go and lay hands on someone to pray. That's the flesh.
Yeah, and that's why there is a spiritual gift of interpretation of tongues that is given alongside this gift of tongues, right? So the Father is saying, look, you're not going to interpret, you're not going to understand this gift. Like, I'm even giving a special spiritual gift that you should, and Paul writes and he says how he wants us to seek it so that we can interpret our own tongue, so we can tell the church what we're saying, which may be a prophetic, right, or whatever, a word from the Lord. Yeah, there's this word that we speak, but it's not. You see, people have thought, well, okay, speaking in tongues means that that I open my mouth and I speak, say Chinese or whatever other language. And yes, there is an act to this manifestation, right, with them speaking in these other human languages. But what you have to remember is, as they're speaking, there's this, the Spirit is moving upon them. I always wonder, and this is always a question I'd like to ask people, is if we believe that speaking in tongues is to be exclusively a human language, right? Like in Acts chapter 2, then how do we practice that gift? Because I'm gonna then have to go and just open my mouth, and then I'll have to just speak like some language I don't know. But yet I have, how do I do that in faith? You know what I mean? It starts with a step of faith, of opening your mouth, like physically, and speaking, right? Like you say that it wasn't like I don't say the Father can't do this, but it wasn't like the Father just did it for you. It wasn't that you just started speaking in tongues by nature one night, and it was something that was actually deeply considered, something that you pursued, you fasted about, and then you did. So it wasn't, there was a whole like action on your part with this. And so we have to, if we want to exercise this gift, my point is just, there has to be an action. Like if you want to pray for someone to get healed, there has to be an action. Like you have to go up to them, you have to lay your hand on them, and you have to believe, right? And speaking in tongues is the same way. So guys, I just wanted to read you a few verses just about the gift of speaking in tongues here, because I know there's a lot of question always surrounding it when we talk about it. And so I want to just open up here in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. It says, "For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to man, but to God. For no one understands him. He utters mysteries in the spirit." Right? And then I want to read verse 4. "The one who speaks in tongue builds up himself. The one who prophesies builds up the church." So we see that there's this version of speaking in tongues that is about building up yourself, that is about not speaking to men, right? But in Acts chapter 2, they were speaking to men, and they weren't building up themselves. They were building up the church. So you see there's this another manifestation here where you can speak in tongues, pray in tongues, let me say, for building up yourself. And I want to read on verse 5. He says, "I want you all to speak in tongues," right? And he goes on and talks about prophecies, prophesying, and he says, "But if we interpret the gift of tongues, it is going to be edifying to the whole church as well." So, yeah, brother, I thank you. That is so good to share. There's one more actually, just I think in relation to something you said, one more verse I just want to share here for everyone. And that's here, verse 11. He says, Paul writes, "But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker and the speaker a foreigner to me." Right? And then he goes on and says, "Therefore, one who speaks in tongues should pray that he may interpret." So he is speaking and saying, look, there is, when you speak in tongues, you don't know what you're saying. You do not know the meaning of the language. And if there is no one who knows the meaning of the language, there is no edification in a church setting. So therefore, make sure that you pray that you may interpret. So we don't have to be dogmatic and say, well, someone has to understand the gift of tongues, because the whole point is that it is a foreign gift, a foreign tongue, a foreign language to us. Right. Yeah, Hannibal. Amen. So, brother, tell me another thing. What would you say was how did the Father, you talked about your your experience. That was not good. How did the Father prick your heart in a way that it reopened your heart to considering this one gift that you actually never wanted?
The fact that I wanted all of their gifts, because what I see Paul saying in Ephesians 4 about the fivefold ministry is that their job is to edify and build up the body until we can grow into maturity, right, in Christ. And Yeshua walked in all gifts, right? He didn't have spurts of power, but he was continually walking in the fullness of the Spirit, and that's what we're all called to do. Like 1 John 4:17 says, like, as he is, so are we in this world. And just because I don't see that in my life doesn't mean that I'm going to change what the scriptures are saying. The scriptures are saying what they say. So I just need to change my mind and start believing and step out. So when I started asking the Father, and he immediately told me, like, this is what I want you to pursue first, even though I was kind of stubborn and had a lot of fear, I knew that, okay, if I'm obedient here, the Father is going to give me more, because he's already told us, you know, like Paul says in Romans 8:32, that, you know, he's already given us his Son, so he will give us all other things freely. And I think as believers, we should desire everything that the Father has in store for us, so that we can be a blessing, not only to the body, but we can be a light to the nations, right? So that when people look at us, they see Yeshua. And Yeshua, he walked in absolute love and compassion, but also authority and dominion, right, over sickness, illness, and disease. And I did not have a desire for that in my own body. And that was a big problem, because I was walking in the commandments. You know, of course, we can always walk better, and that's something that we practice. But that had not generated those feelings of compassion towards my fellow humans, or generated a hunger for the spiritual gifts. And like Romans 10:4 says, that Yeshua is the end goal of the Torah is the end goal. Well, Yeshua is the end goal of walking in the Torah, right? I felt like I was walking in Torah, but I was not looking like Yeshua at all. I felt like a Pharisee, to be honest, and that scared me. And I had to break out of that, because, and that's why I went into fasting and praying with just fervency. Because when I came to faith, okay, the Father did not meet me in rock bottom. I had a pretty good life, and I told him that I'll give everything up, but I want everything in this book. I want to walk that out in my own life, everything. Mm-hmm. And when I did not see that, I refuse to live a life and not see everything come to pass through me. Mm-hmm. Not because I'm special, but because Yeshua wants us all to walk through that, right, in it. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome, because it's like you said, you didn't let your experiences, however bad they may have been in the past, dictate what you should be seeing. Instead, you let the Word do that. And I think that is that's a big deal, guys. Like, everyone is listening, that's a big deal. Like, if you have experienced some bad stuff, some spiritual abuse of some kind, like, I'm with you, man. Like, there are some things out there that can hurt us, and that if people have done us wrong, maybe, like, you, when you hear speaking tongues, you just, like, I don't want to hear about that stuff. And, you know, or any gift of the Holy Spirit or moving of the Spirit, you know, it's easy for us to get in that place because of hurt. But yet, there is an authentic Holy Spirit in the Word, and there is an authentic gift of tongues. There's an authentic gift of interpretation and prophecy and healing and so forth. And I think that what is so awesome about Hannibal's testimony is that he was, despite what he was up against in his experience, he was more hungry for what the Word says he can experience than what he did experience. And that is so huge for me. So, man, like, props to you. It's so awesome, because I just connect with your testimony in so many ways, because I feel like it's so similar to the way that the Father moved with me, coming from a background that's probably a little different. But I also had this confusion of, yes, okay, I'm trying to be obedient to God, I'm trying to learn the Bible, I'm trying to do all the things, but yet I felt like a Pharisee, like you said, right? Mm-hmm. And it was also, like you said, for me, that I started feeling I could love people better when I actually started walking out the spiritual gifts that he prepared for us, because now a spiritual gift cannot be walked out without the Holy Spirit working through you, right? That's how you're empowered to walk in a spiritual gift. So when the Holy Spirit does move through you, the love, the living waters of Yeshua flows through you and it changes you. I always say this, but this changed me more than anyone that I was maybe praying for, or whenever the Father was, did a miracle, glory to Him. It was always me being changed, even if the other person was being impacted. And so if you're someone who's listening here tonight and you're like, wow, I feel like I'm going through the motions and I'm doing my Torah portions and studies of the Bible, but I feel like there's a lack, there's something missing. Well, you know, I want to submit to you that maybe this is it. You know, maybe it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit the Father wants to pour out on you. Maybe He wants you to speak in tongues. Maybe He wants you to pray for the sick. Maybe He wants you to cast out demons. Maybe He wants you to prophesy. Maybe He wants you to give you a word of knowledge, or whatever, you know, spiritual gift there is. So I just want to encourage you guys, all that's listening here, to really assess your heart and ask yourself, how hungry am I really for the Holy Spirit? Because that's, and I think that's a question that we should always be asking ourselves. So Hannibal, another question I have for you is, how has speaking in tongues ever since now that encounter you had, how has that impacted your relationship with the Father and Yeshua?
It's in so many ways, I don't even know where to begin. In terms of just compassion and being able to be sensitive to the Spirit, that has changed completely since I started praying in tongues. And the more I do it, the more sensitive I get, as I seem. And compassion for people was something that I really struggled with. And until I started stepping out and praying in tongues, I did not even have the boldness to actually, I wasn't bold enough to pray for people for healing or step out and intercede for people. And when I started doing that, that's when compassion comes in. You know, like you said, with all gifts, you take the first step and the Holy Spirit comes and helps you. Same thing with compassion. And it feels like once I started being faithful with this gift, the Father just gave me more. And I was shortly after, I was able to, you know, partake in the first time of helping someone be delivered from unclean spirits and baptized in the Holy Spirit and healed all in one go. And that's happened a few times since then. And even then, I've tried to use also tongues in deliverance, and demons react to it. So, I mean, you've said that in a few videos, and, you know, that came to my mind during a deliverance once, and I wanted to try it. You know, I just wanted to experiment, and it worked. And I pray in the Spirit all the time now these days. You know, when I'm out in my garden, when I'm in the gym, you know, in between sets, it feels good to build yourself up. And I keep myself the joy of the Lord being a strength. The first time I understood that passage was when I started praying in tongues often, praying my private prayer time in tongues, and even with that, not in tongues afterwards, just a new level of just intimacy, but also endurance. Endurance for prayer has increased. My understanding of the Word has increased. My hunger for the Word has increased. My praise, I did not praise and worship at all privately before, because I did not grow up in a church. So first of all, I didn't know any good songs. And to be honest, when I became a believer, I felt like most praise and worship songs were kind of corny. And I asked the Father, like, you have to change my tastes, because this is not for me. But since I started praying in tongues, I'm out singing and dancing all the time to the Father. And that's something that has changed in my heart. Like you said, we don't know what we're saying because the mind is unfruitful. But like Paul says in Romans 8:26-27, that, you know, we don't know what we ought to pray, but Spirit intercedes on our behalf. And when we pray in tongues, we're just coming in agreement with that, with those groanings that the Spirit is praying through us. And things that I did not even know to pray for, the Father has answered when I've been praying in tongues. So that has been such a huge blessing. It's like almost, maybe I could explain it like fiber optics. As we're praising the Father, He's downloading stuff into us. So it's a two-way street of communication. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift. So,
amen. You know, man, the way I see it also, what I found with I love what you said. What I found with the gift is that it's in a way giving you the ability to speak things that you would not be able to utter with your carnal mind. And I know that sounds, for someone who may not have prayed in tongues before. It sounds strange, but that's the only way I can explain it. Is it's like if I don't know what to say, I feel like there's something I need to pray about, but I'm not sure what it is. And when I pray in tongues, I don't even always understand, right? Because if I don't have an interpretation for what I'm saying, but yet I know that it is building me up spiritually. I know that it is, like you said, I'm getting oftentimes a download from the Father on a revelation or on something about His Word I've been pondering about I didn't understand before, or maybe you're praying in tongues and then you just get a vision. Like, that has happened with many people as well, including myself. And, you know, so there's this special place that we enter of intimacy with the Father when we speak in tongues, and it's building up yourself, like Paul said. And so, you know, guys, I just wanted to, everyone who's in the live chat, I'm so excited for you guys to be here with us tonight. I want you guys to just put in the chat any questions that you may have so far regarding the testimony or that Hannibal shared, or the gift of speaking in tongues itself. I'm reading a few here so far. I read Thomas wrote earlier, I've prayed with a group of people. After the praying, I was asked if I was praying in tongues. To me, I was speaking in English, Thomas said. That is so awesome. So he's saying, like, he was in a group, he was asked if he was speaking in tongues, but he was actually speaking English to himself. Like, that's awesome. I've heard many testimonies like that. Another one that was asked by Tom is, what's the best way to build your faith leading to fervent prayer for these gifts? Well, you know, I think, like Hannibal shared earlier, building your faith is, like, in his case, you know, you can share a bit, Hannibal, as well, but what I've seen in your testimony was that you were seeking this with a great hunger and you were fasting. Do you think that played a big role for you?
Yeah, and you know, fasting is something that has been a huge part of my walk since I became a believer less than 2 years ago. And I think, you know, if you're not hungry, because that's something that I had a big struggle with too. You know, I knew that I was lacking something, but I did not have enough hunger to go after it. And I just started fasting. You know, you deprive yourself and spend time in the Word, and you'll start feeling this yearning in your spirit of like, I need to do this too. I want to do this. You know, the people that are living in darkness, they need to see Yeshua. They deserve to see our King through us. And if we're unable to bring Him forth because, you know, we have not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or, you know, we're afraid, we ask for boldness, like in Acts 4. You know, when they got threatened, they raised up their voices in unison and asked the Father to give them boldness, and that He would stretch out His hand to do mighty signs and wonders to glorify His Son, Yeshua. And that, those type of prayers the Father will always honor. And I think one thing that a lot of believers don't really know how to do well is to stand. So after you've prayed, is you stand in faith. Because if we don't see the answer in 1 day or 1 week or 1 month, we start saying that maybe this is not for me. You know, maybe the Father did not mean it for us. But that's usually when the answer is right around the corner. You know, build grit, you know, and spending time in prayer and fasting will build your endurance, and in the Word and singing and praising, the Father will, you know, He will rejuvenate you so you can stand for another day and keep pressing on. So that's the best advice I would give to Brother Tom.
Amen. Love that. That was so good, man. Another one that's come in here is from Amy. She said, how to help our minds be free of the flesh and let the Spirit guide us. I a lot of times have issues with my mind going here and there while praying. Is this training our minds to not be distracted? Right. So, yeah, I think that it's very similar to what Tom asked. When our mind is going here and there, up and down, left and right, and distracting us, or we have thoughts of unbelief or whatever, you know, fasting is a tool, right, that helps us have self-control when we basically tell our body, you are not eating right now, I'm not letting you eat, even though you're hungry, you want food, I have self-control. That is what you're building in your spirit. And so when the thoughts come, you can easily also tell those thoughts the same way, you will not have authority right now because my spirit man is right now in authority. And another thing to do is not to be shaken when you have thoughts that are that are not in alignment with the Spirit, even if you have those thoughts, that doesn't mean that it's game over. It doesn't mean like something is wrong with you. We all have those thoughts, but it's all about then controlling it in terms of you set them aside. Yes, I feel, I mean, every time I pray for someone, you know, safe to get healed or something, there are thoughts that enter my mind that it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I have to then, I just set them aside. And I kind of just laugh and chuckle inside of those thoughts, because I chuckle in faith at the fact that what Yeshua said, we calls us to do, right? So that's what I would add to that as well. I'm just seeing what else, if there's anything else. Rebecca asked, can we speak in tongues publicly without interpretation, or can the gift of tongues in public only be accompanied by interpretation? Okay, yeah, I mean, you know, my thoughts on this is, look, yeah, Paul wrote regarding this, and he said when we speak in tongues in a public setting like a church where there's the possibility for unbelievers to be there, then we want to be a little bit more cautious. We can speak in tongues, but if we're speaking loudly in a way that, you know, is going to be heard by people, right, then there has to be an interpreter who can come and speak and say this is what it means. So there's actual edification for the church, and so that, like Paul said, the unbelievers will not think you're out of your mind, but they would understand there's a point to what's happening actually. But I will say that if you're in a setting that's more like closed, like a prayer group or a small group of people that you know, and you know they're believers and there's unity in that, then, well, this is not what Paul is talking about. He's talking about a public setting where there's unbelievers. So interpretation is not like a requirement in a smaller group setting like that. But yes, just one more thing I will say on that is, to speak in tongues in a public setting, you need to actually speak, and then you need to give a chance for anyone who receives an interpretation to be able to come forward and say, I'm receiving an interpretation, I can give an interpretation, right? So we have to open the door still for someone to speak in tongues, even in public, to see at least, okay, is there an interpreter? And then they can continue, right? Okay. Great. What would you say to someone who knows they are spirit-filled and has the desire to pray in tongues, but struggle like you did because it never happened for them? Hannibal, what would you say to that?
They want to pray in tongues, but they haven't.
Right, they're spirit-filled. Mm-hmm. And they desire to, but they struggle, and it's never mm-hmm. happened, right? What would you say are their steps?
I would say that, why are you struggling? Are you struggling with feelings of rejection? Because something that I've noticed is that when you pray for something with absolute faith and belief, you're sort of putting your hope out there, right? And like Proverbs, I think it's 14:13 says that, you know, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So after a while, you can get beat down from asking in faith and not having your prayers answered. So you start asking in unbelief, you know, saying, oh, Father, if it's your will, then let it happen. Well, we already know that it's his will. So we sort of have to step into believing in him. He's a good father. And just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean that it's not for you. So don't be discouraged. You know, encourage yourself and just keep seeking, you know, with hunger. You know, be relentless. I think... I don't know how to explain it in a better way, but we have to be vicious and just, I'm clinging to it by my teeth. I'm not letting go until you bless me, like Jacob, like Jacob said to the angel, right? We got to have that mentality of all things that pertaining to us for holiness and sanctification. We need it. Like Paul said, I thank God that I speak in more tongues than all of you. Paul, he could talk circles around us with the scriptures, all of us here in the live stream together. And if he thanked God for praying in tongues, more than all of us, we need it, right? There's not what if. We do need it. So just keep pressing in, and I have absolute faith that you will receive that gift.
And we know that it is the Father's will, because Paul wrote, he said, earnestly desire the gifts. In other words, we have a role to play. It's not just going to fall into our lap. We have to go ahead and desire it, which is an action. Amen. It's a stepping into it. It's a hunger for it. It's a praying into it. And then we know that the Father said, you know, it's written that If you ask, he's a father that if you ask him for bread, he's not going to give you a snake. So if you ask him for a gift, well, he's going to desire you to have that gift. And here's the thing, why do you desire that gift? Like, because, like we mentioned, the carnal mind is at enmity with the Spirit of God. So your carnal mind is not going to desire to speak in tongues. You know, we know that. We know we don't, in our carnality, we don't want to do that. So we know that when this earnest desire starts coming upon us, that the Holy Spirit is the one who's actually pulling our heartstrings into that area. Yeah. Okay, cool. And there's another question from Renee. She asks, is praying in tongues the same as praying in our heavenly language? Because I don't have a prayer language, nor do I have the gift of tongues, but I want to have a heavenly language. All right, so Renee, the way I see it is that speaking in tongues is it is one gift, right? But it has multiple manifestations and roles. Just like the gift of healing has multiple roles. It has a role to be in the body, to bring freedom and healing to people who are believers who are sick. And it has the role to be a sign to people on the streets and outside, like Yeshua used it, to show that he is the Messiah. And so in the same way, the gift of tongues has targets unbelievers, in that when they hear, when they see someone speak in a tongue, like in Acts chapter 2, and in their own language, and this person is not supposed to understand it, then they are going to be shaken and wonder why, and they see it's a miracle, and they repent as they're pierced in their hearts. The other role of the gift of tongues is for the believer, as it builds up the believer. That's like you're using the term a heavenly language. Okay, that's fair. And so this is building up yourself to, like in the ways we've discussed thus far in this teaching. So the gift of tongues is one gift. It has multiple roles, and it will look a little different depending on what the environment is and what the Father desires to do in that situation. But it's one gift. Okay. I hope that answers your question. And last question here that we're going to be looking at is, can you be Spirit-filled without having the gift of speaking in tongues? Right. So this is how I see it. Before I answer, Hannibal, could you tell me, what do you think? Were you Spirit-filled and then you spoke in tongues? Or how did it go for you?
If this person means by Spirit-filled, like baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, then I think what we see in the scriptures is that when people are baptized in the Holy Spirit is when they start speaking in tongues. So the filling comes first, and tongues is usually a sign or result of that, you know, that we see. And that's how I would answer that question.
So do you think that you got baptized in the Holy Spirit the first time you spoke in tongues or before that?
No, it must have been before that, because I did not sense anything when I spoke in tongues. Like I said, I felt just stupid, to be honest. So it was before that. But obviously, I could have spoken in tongues a lot earlier had it not been for my fear and all my
That's
wrong thinking. So who knows? You know, maybe
right.
I don't remember that moment because it took so long for me to actually start manifesting the gift after I actually received it.
Yeah,
that's possibility.
I think what you said happens a lot, in that people, especially if they've had, you know, if I might call it baggage or, you know, bad teaching about the gift or something. Well, if you believe it's like evil to practice, even if the Father pours out his Spirit on you, you're going to close your mouth and you're not going to open your mouth and do that, even if the Spirit's trying to do that through you, because you're like, no, that's evil, as I've been taught. And so, you know, I think that that can happen. And then later, when people come to greater revelation and knowledge, they grow, they're renewing of the mind, then they actually enter the gift that they actually had. Like you said, you've had the gift, actually. The Father's told you in your heart, you have the gift, but you had to enter it. You had to actually do it. And that was for me the same way. You know, I remember I was praying one night and the Father whispered to me, you have the gift. Like, that's literally what he whispered to me. And then I opened my mouth and started speaking in tongues. But I believe that I was likely baptized in the Holy Spirit before that. But what we do see, and this is what I'll say to answer this question, is that there is an outward expression, there is outward evidence of baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I do believe spiritual gifts are a part of that. I do believe that if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you cannot keep your spiritual gifts bottled up forever. I think that there will be a moment where, you know, this hunger, like Hannibal had, just starts growing in you so much that, you know, you have to do something with that. And that is evidence of baptism of the Holy Spirit, among other things. And if anyone's interested in that, a deep scriptural teaching on that, you know, I did a video called Baptism of the Holy Spirit and in Fire. Please go watch that if you want to learn more about that. All right. So, yeah, guys, I just want to say thank you so very much for joining us here tonight. I really hope that this discussion and this testimony that's so awesome that the Father has done has blessed you. Hannibal, thank you so much, brother, for coming on and sharing what happened. I really believe that this will really open the minds of people to consider what they've heard about the gift of tongues before.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. I really pray that this will give people hunger to relook at the scriptures and really seek the Father's face for this, because this is something that we see in the early church. Everybody, you know, everyone that got filled with the Holy Spirit in the upper room in Acts 2 got the gift. And afterwards, we see the same thing, you know, to the point where Jude in Jude verse 20 says that we should build ourselves up in our most holy faith by praying in the Spirit, right? Now, this is a phrase that we only see Paul also use when talking about praying in tongues, because I think that was such a prevalent thing in the body of believers that the only ones that did not speak in tongues yet were people that were actively pursuing it, because they had not been fed doctrine that it's not a gift that's for everyone or not a gift for today. So we sort of have to, like you said in a previous video, we have about 2,000 years of man-made traditions about the Holy Spirit and how it can manifest through us that we have to unlearn and go back to the basics and just have a hunger and seek the Father, and He will pour out all His wonderful gifts upon us.
That's such a good point, man. I mean, in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit's poured out, they don't have any concept of anything yet. They have no teachings in their mind that may cloud their mind about what His Holy Spirit wants to do. So, guys, let's try and get back to that moment and ask ourselves, if we were in that place, what would we do if the Holy Spirit was being poured out in front of us and He wants to do something through us? Will we be available for Him, or will our hearts be closed? I'll leave you guys with that thought. Hannibal, would you like to end off in a prayer for us?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Heavenly Father, we just thank You. We come before Your throne of grace. Father, we just thank You for this message. We pray that Your Holy Spirit would prick the heart of every listener and just give them a hunger, Father, for Your gifts. Father, I pray that You would just break off every shackle of unbelief and doubt in Your goodness, Father. And we just pray that You would root out all fear and just help us to believe in Your goodness, Father, and be willing and ready to receive the gifts of Your Holy Spirit. And we pray blessings over everyone. In Yeshua's name, pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, brother. I really appreciate that. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. We're live here Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Please subscribe to the channel and like this video and share it with your friends. We need this message to get out there. And I just want to say a big thank you so much to our partners who make this possible. Many, many blessings, and shalom.
This was a teaching by Rise on Fire Ministries. If this teaching has blessed you, consider supporting the ministry by partnering with us to reach the nations with the gospel. You can partner by visiting riseonfire.com. Blessings and shalom.
His Spirit and truth is what fills us to the brim. It satisfies and it sets free. It's not the truth without the Spirit, or Spirit without the truth. It's the fullness of Messiah that drips with anointing. He's calling, enabling a radical bride who, for the first time in history, will walk in the full measure of law and grace. In most denominations, law and grace stand in opposition. But He's calling worshippers with Spirit and truth.
Can you hear the shofar blow?
Igniting Spirit and Truth book in paperback, ebook, audiobook, or even as a free download, visit spirittruthbook.com.